The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's the best one right there.
It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Poor Man's Package Podcast, number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined as always with Kyle and Hank. Kyle?
Hello.
Oh.
We didn't get... the boys is usually my cue now, so...
Yeah,
kind of fucked that up.
Yeah, if you guys can't tell already, we're doing a live Zoom episode with everyone. First time we've tried this. Kyle is currently in the COVID protocol, so we decided not to record in person. Hank is not here yet. He will be joining late. He's just getting off his shift at Menards, so we should see him soon. But starting things off. Obviously, everyone knows.
And, well, hold on. Yeah. Just for the record, the leg, I already hate this. Hopefully, this is a one-time thing. But for the record, I don't think I got – or I don't have COVID as far as I'm concerned. I've been tested. I'm waiting on results. I've probably already revealed too much information. But it's actually from my roommate, not from Lambo, I don't think. I only mouth-kissed like 7 or 8 people around me. So I don't think it would be from Lambo. But just know I'm in good health, good spirits. It's all just for, precautionary reasons. There it is.
Very fair. And your roommate is the Viking fan, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Good. And I'm actually in the parking lot of Spence, where Spence lives and where we record, just because I needed to be in the radius of the studio just to kind of, you know, feed off that energy and that aura. So, you know, let's have a good episode, Spence.
All right. We'll do our best. I will once again apologize for the audio last week too. I'm sure everyone's happy that, it's a slight upgrade this week. I could either blame, Hank for not checking the cords or Kyle for not letting me go all the way through the recording process that we have, but it was 100% my fault. I should have checked that. So, that's on me. Hopefully after this week, we'll be in person again and everything will be fine. But with that, Kyle, as you alluded to, for several weeks in a row, you were at the game on Sunday. How was Lambeau? I'm incredibly jealous that you were there for that game.
Oh, man. I mean, seriously, what a game to be at. Just like, that was one of the better games I've been at in recent memory, just because of all the exciting shit that happened during it and like just the implications of the game. You know, obviously this is going to be a big deal. Like the winner of this game is going to matter once it comes down to who's going to be the one seed. It's looking like the Rams are probably going to go out on the road in the playoffs because I don't think they're going to win their division, but yeah, overall, the experience was incredible, a great game to be at. And I'm just, I'm still not over the fact. And I'm just like, I'm still chuckling to myself the thought of Matthew Stafford in a game that's played at Lambeau, in a game that Aaron Rodgers is also playing in, Matthew Stafford being the favorite. I seriously could not believe it. I gamble responsibly, but I was a max unit play on that. It was so obvious and borderline offensive. I don't know what the Vegas odds makers were thinking, but I mean, what a joke to make Aaron Rodgers a home dog to Matthew Stafford is laughable.
Yeah, I didn't even realize, or I had to realize it again going into game time that, because what, they were 2-point favorites on the road, right?
Yeah, I think it actually got up to 2.5. And I think, I believe when we did our preview last week, like the Packers were still 1.5-point favorites, because I think I probably would have made a big deal about that at the time. But yeah, by the time we were done recording and it was close to kick, yeah, I think the Packers got all the way up to +2.5, which again, laughable.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously wasn't super confident going into that game, but I mean, how else was the experience for you? One note that I had for the game is something that I feel like I forget every year too, is like, well, I guess we didn't have it last year, but there's almost like a different vibe at Lambeau when it gets to what Rodgers has talked about as his turtleneck weather, which what degrees was it? Less than 40, less than 30? Do you remember what it was, Kyle?
Yeah, probably around there. I mean, as always, it's always like it always feels colder outside of the stadium, you know, going in or tailgating. But then once you actually get in,
yeah,
and you're around, you know, 70,000 of your closest friends, you don't even, you know, think. I was not cold at all. And the temperature was not really a factor at all, I don't think.
Okay. There's just something weird too, where it's like the cheers are different. I don't know what it is, but it's like there's almost a delay for the big plays with like when all the cheers come in at once. I don't know. It was one of those where you get like those nice tingly feelings watching the game where it's like, God damn, I wish, yes, I was there. It, you know, it brings you back to like the 4th-and-8 Cobb game where everything's cold and it's like the silence is more, yes, quiet than normal and the noise is more noisy. I don't know. I'm sure that's a really deep statement there, but incredibly
generous. No, that actually makes like as like blanket as it is, that actually makes a ton of sense when you're actually in the Lambeau environment. Well, I mean, and I'm sure on the broadcast as well.
Yeah. So any big moments at the game? You know, you were there for a defensive touchdown. Rodgers had a pretty good game. Did you have any run-ins with other fans? How'd it go overall?
Yeah, it was, oh my God. And I'm sure, oh shoot, you haven't even sent me the pick six plays, but I don't know if this made the cut, but my favorite play, I mean, it was literally an out-of-body experiencing this play, because you know, my seats are right above the tunnel, so it's kind of in the corner of the stadium, so we had a good view of one of the end zones. I don't know if it's north or south, never been a direction guy, but they were coming our way, and so when the Packers are out in spread formation, I pretty much exclusively just watch Davante Adams, just because it's so hilarious to see how easy he gets open, and he literally gets open on every single play. And so on the one deep ball down the sideline, it was coming right at us. It legitimately an out of body experience. I was locked in on Davante. He did his little, you know, out and up, absolutely, you know, was wide open. The saying is, if he's even, he's leaving. And that's what it was. He got open. And so I glance back at the Rodgers. He's, you know, uncorking it and floats it up. And like, it's like the ball, it's like everything was in slow motion. I saw it happen just so slowly, like the Davante get open, the Rodgers uncorking it, and then just the ball, like it's like the ball was traveling through the air. It swung by my seat, gave me a kiss on the cheek, and then went right into Devontae's hand. It was such an it was such a perfect angle for the play. It was unbelievable, and like one of those memories that's going to like be ingrained in my brain for probably ever. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, you're a lucky duck. I don't think that is a pick six play, but obviously we'll talk about Davante, and once again, just another ho-hum game for him. But yeah, other than that, we'll have our normal episode for the most part. We'll have our pick six plays this week, breaking down the six plays that shape the game, break down the offense and defense. After that, we'll have a quick take news. Hopefully Hank's on by then. After that, we'll shoot. We don't have too much because we don't have a game next week. We'll have, of course, Kyle, our bye week bonanza. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see if Brett Goode will come on or someone else. go from there. But then after, well, we won't have a preview, but we will look at the playoff picture going forward. So with that, pick six.
Love a good playoff picture.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
Yeah! All right. Pick six. God, I wrote these the other day, so hopefully they're all still relevant. I don't think the Davante Adams one is on there, Kyle, but I will get right into it. First,
no, that's okay. But I'm glad you asked of anything particular that stood out, because that play did, even though I didn't, it probably wasn't going to make the cut for pick six. So I'm glad I was able to describe my spiritual experience. So thank you, Spence.
Perfect. All right. 0-0 ball game at this point, 2nd and 5 for the Rams. Their first drive of the game, Gary gets held, hits Stafford from behind, ball pops out, and Preston Smith, one hand kind of palms it, picks it up, runs, gets tackled pretty quickly. A couple plays later, Aaron Rodgers runs the ball in, which is its own kind of pick six play, but wouldn't have happened without Preston Smith picking up that fumble and Gary obviously forcing it. I think that good setup for the whole game, where the defense just seemed to make explosive plays one after another. But yeah, Kyle, what did you think of that? I mean, God, a few turnovers in this game. There had to have been a lot of moments where, you know, the reactions at Lambeau, you know, like you were talking about with Davante, were something else. And especially that run after with from Aaron Rodgers too.
Like I said, this was one of my favorite games in recent memories. And now that I think about it, it's probably because of all like the exciting shit that happened, like the pick six, that fumble, all the touchdowns, the long plays. So it's like, there was so much to cheer about throughout the game. But for that fumble, I really thought it was cool how it was forced. Like Rashawn comes around the edge and then like, he doesn't do the thing where the usual strip sack, where you kind of like swat it or you swipe and it kind of just, you know, you hit their forearm and the ball just pops out. He like, it looks like he like punches his elbow almost. And then the ball just kind of like ejects out of his hand. And then Preston has, you know, great awareness to see that, scoop it up. Thankfully, those are always stressful as hell to watch defensive players scoop up. Fumbles, but he did it in one try. And yeah, it was just a great play. And I loved how unconventional the fumble was forced, just by kind of, like I said, punching his elbow.
Yeah. And then, so following that up, you know, like I said, the Packers score a couple plays later. So that must have been the opposite end zone over you were at for Rodgers running that ball in. Mm-hmm. How was that being there?
Yeah, that was, it was on the other side. So we didn't have a super, you know, great angle on it, but that was obviously an exciting play. And it obviously the talk of that play is that was not the design play.
Right.
But from, you know, live, it looked like it was the design play. So yeah, it worked out perfectly. And the most effective fake in football, got one of the best corners in football to bite, and just out-athleted him and out-athletic.
Yeah, I think he had it the first time.
Out-athleted.
Yeah. Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show that Jalen Ramsey is a better athlete, so who knows for sure. But it was seeing the helicopter, the way he really does just like leave the frame, if you've seen like the all-22 angle where he just spins around and goes off. It's like, wow, it is crazy that Rodgers was able to do that to a defender. And once again, it's like every single week, I've been saying it all year, he has one of these rushes where you're like, huh, I guess a 37-to-be-38-year-old quarterback still has enough athleticism in his legs to make that stuff happen.
He'll be 38 in like 2 days.
Yeah, I know.
I always
forget how old he is, and it's like, oh God, I don't know. You always go back and forth with, I'm like, God, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, 38, he's almost 40, but whatever. Moving on, the second pick six play. It was soon after that on 4th down on the 30. Rams elect to go for it for whatever reason, you know, in their own territory.
Oh, my goodness.
And Adrian Amos just runs through the line, makes the stop, and Packers, you know, get the ball on downs. Eventually leads to a field goal to make it 10-0. But that was, once again, one of those plays where it's like, the defense is is pretty solid. And especially at Lambeau, it's hard to see these guys not performing, you know, later on as the season goes on.
Yeah, that might have been one of those moments that you mentioned where it was kind of like the cheers took a little bit to, you know, get going. But I think it was just because of the way, because, I mean, where I was sitting was kind of a bad angle because we were on the side of the defense. So we obviously didn't have a great view of it. But it was one of those tackles where, like, he tackled him forward. So you thought, oh, he did enough to kind of reach the ball and get it past the first down marker, but obviously that wasn't the case. And just an unbelievable play by Adrian Amos, the leader of the defense, and just a hilarious decision by McVay, and worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's one of those things, like, if you haven't been to a football game in the NFL, it's like, yeah, there aren't, the yellow line doesn't exist in real life, and you kind of forget about it sometimes. Where, yeah, yeah, unless you're
exactly,
unless you've got great seats, like, you know, around the, you know, between the 40s, it's like those plays are tough to know exactly where the ball ended up after the tackle. But
right, but then obviously once the zebra gave the signal, it was going the other way. That, yeah, that place ramped up pretty quick.
Yeah, and God, there's been a strong push for him too. I wonder if Adrian is going to make a Pro Bowl this year. At this, I mean, there's so many people on this defense, on this team, that probably deserves it, but I guess that'll be a conversation for another day. Moving on to the third pick six play. Third and eight, Stafford goes deep to Jefferson, who Shannon Sullivan was covering. Falls down in coverage, makes it 10-7. One of those, I think we were all getting high on the game where it's like, holy shit, maybe we're going to blow him out. And then, you know, quickly comes back down to earth a little bit after kind of a bit of a broken play. I don't know. It's, we haven't seen it that much this year from Joe Barry's defense. You know, it's usually just these small plays. We haven't had many big ones aside from, like, you know, against the Bengals and a couple here and there, but something that kind of reshaped the game and got things a little bit closer. I don't know if you have too much on that one, Kyle.
Yeah, no, it definitely reeled us, reeled the live crowd back down to earth, because it like had the energy of like, holy shit, this could get ugly fast. But then, you know, that really humbled everyone and, you know, made it a good game. And, you know, Chandon, I love Chandon so much. I love his role on the team, but at the same time, he, you know, he's good for one of those plays every, you know, few weeks or once a month. So that's tough to see, but now that just means we're going to get 3 weeks of very solid play from Chandon going forward.
I hope so. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see too, when Kevin King comes back. They've kind of been rotating guys, and we'll obviously talk about Rasul Douglas later, but you know, it's been a conversation all year where it's like, what, kind of like with the offensive line, like, what are we going to do when Jair comes back? You know, with Kevin King, and you can't really take Rasul Douglas off the field. You can't really take Stokes off the field. And they keep talking about Kevin King playing in the slot, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do once Kevin King gets healthy there. So moving on, after two field goals and a Cobb and Henderson touchdown, it is 4th and 2. Packers are in the Rams territory. Obviously, the Packers ball here. Rodgers drops back and hits DeGuara for a first down. Dylan scores a couple plays later, making it 27-17. But once again, I think it's, you know, one of those plays where it was a little crucial, you know, especially when it was a real back and forth type game after, you know, the middle of the game there. But, you know, a little risky going for it on fourth down. But once again, Josiah DeGuara, this is like the third time this year where he's had a catch on fourth down, where he's starting to slowly turn into a more reliable option. We haven't seen him get yelled at by Rodgers in a couple weeks, so that's nice too. So how is that being? Do you like the fourth down plays at Lambeau? How quiet was it getting? I did hear a couple go pack go chants on offense late in the game, but overall, how was that for you, Kyle?
It was only 4th and 2, right? And where were they on the field? They were on like the Rams, like 40, right?
Yeah, something like that. We'll go with that.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm completely okay with the risk reward ratio for that decision. I don't think the risk is too insane, because I mean, what are you going to do? Punt it at the 42 yard line?
No,
thank you. But it looked like it was, you know, maybe Rodgers' like second or third read. Like it looked like he was looking, you know, far out left to probably Devontae, and then he just scanning, and boom, just fired it in there like a perfect throw. Again, one of those throws that's just kind of like nothing to most people, but at the same time, I just think he was kind of off balance. The pressure was getting to him, and he just flicked it and put it right on his numbers. And again, yeah, a very crucial pickup to keep the drive going, which I believe they ended up scoring points on that drive. Oh yeah, you said the AJ Dillon.
Yep, Dillon so, scored.
Yeah. And to answer your other question, no, yeah, I don't think they're. I mean, Packer fans are trained pretty well to shut the hell up on offense. And yeah, I think there was maybe one moment in the fourth quarter on one of their last drives where, I mean, we were just way too juiced. that I think Rodgers had to give us the shut the hell up hand motion. But I think that was only once.
Okay. Yeah, good. I heard it once on the broadcast. So I was like, come on, guys. We're too good for this. We're a little halfway through the season. And we're already doing, but that's fine. Either way.
Hey, oh, well, I will say, no wave. There was no wave. So also good progress there.
Yeah, good. I mean, the wave is like a preseason football thing for me at Lambeau. Like, if you're doing it preseason, it's fine. I'll still get pissed off if you're doing it on offense. But if you're going to do it, you might as well do it in the preseason.
Right. Agreed.
Moving on. The fifth pick-six play, 17-30 after another field goal. 3rd and 7 for the Rams in their own territory. I believe they're on their own 25 at this time. Stafford drops back, goes out wide to one Cooper Kupp, who didn't have a very good game at all. And Rasul Douglas just kind of hops right in front of it, picks it off, returns it for a touchdown,
making it
17-36. One of those where, I mean, defensive players probably haven't thought of it too much, but he did kind of like, there was like a half hop type thing when he was running up for the Lambeau leap and tried to get up there. You know, it looked kind of like the first Lambeau leap ever with Leroy Butler, where the fans really had to like pull him up. Felt a little bad that some of the defensive players with him didn't, you know, give him a little boost up, but either way, can't complain. Pick six, nice defensive touchdown. Rasul Douglas, I don't know what else you can say. How was it from your vantage point for that play, Kyle?
Absolutely loved the high step. I don't know if there's a more, I think that's just the high step, or maybe it's like the Deion Sanders high step, but I'm absolutely obsessed with that entrance into the end zone. I mean, the guy is just, it's just so much swag from the game sealing interception to seamless transition to the goodbye wave to now the high step on a pick six.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
It's just the guy is ascending up my all-time Packer ranks very quickly. It's quite fascinating to see. And I'm very thankful for Rasul.
Yeah. And it's crazy too. We'll talk about him later as well, but just, I mean, what a weird kind of career move for him. Cause you know, like we talked about, he was with a couple teams this offseason. You know, he's with, I believe, the Raiders and obviously the Cardinals before that, too. And he was with, who was it, the Eagles before? Or no, the Panthers last year.
I saw a clip floating around on Twitter of, like, him in an Eagles uniform hitting Dez Bryant in a Cowboys uniform. And I'm like, what the hell?
Oh,
Dez
really?
Bryant hasn't been on the Cowboys for what feels like 8 years. So, like, has Rasul been around this long? And if so, like, how is he this good, been just like hopping around practice squad to practice squad? It's, like I said, it's like truly fascinating. And then for him to come in and make plays like this, I don't know. I don't know what's so crazy about him ascending up the all-time Packer list.
Well, for me, it is kind of strange. Yeah. So he started with Philadelphia in 2017. So yeah, So he's been in the league for a bit. God, I guess maybe Dez was with the Cowboys at the time, but something with him too.
Yeah, that sounds.
He's really benefited from, we talked about it a bit last year, these new COVID rules. One, the the short-term IR for 3 weeks, and then you can come back. And also this practice squad stuff, because he was a guy who, after he was done with Carolina last year, he just kind of bounced around a couple teams only on the practice squads. It really makes you think, like, he could have very easily been out of the league if they didn't have this change practice squad where you can have veterans come on, you know? So where would he be if that rule wasn't made? He very well could be out of the league right now. So just something to think about. But God, once again, such a great move by Gooden. Yeah, no, that's a
super interesting observation, actually. I hadn't even thought of that. And
thank you.
I was going to say something, but you made a good point, and now I can't remember what I was going to say.
Perfect.
Damn. It was going to be about Rasul, too. Hold on, let me... just go ahead.
Okay, think about it all. He's got nice teeth, too. I don't think we've talked about that much this year, but we've given props to MBS and Kenny Clark for their new teeth, so I just wanted to say that. The last Piss Six play, and this is just a perfect cap, especially with it being a Matt LaFleur versus Sean McVay game. 36-25, Rams are driving. This is, less than a minute left in the game. Third and one for the Rams on the Packers 21, 52 seconds left. Rams elect to run it, and they somehow don't pick it up. They elect to run their field goal unit out there, kick the field goal, and like I said at the beginning of the play, there was 52 seconds left. After the field goal was made, there's only 18 seconds remaining. They didn't have any timeouts, but God, you'd think he'd, pass the ball or anything else in that situation. They go on for the onside kick, don't recover, and Packers win the ball game. But very, very strange, especially going into it. There was a couple plays throughout the game where it's like you could tell it was a little bit of a chess match between Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay. The little, trick plays. Cooper Kupp had that one pass attempt, which came back and, going for it on your own 30, and then that run there too, where you're trying to catch them off. And I know the Packers had a couple plays as well that were a little tricky. I can't remember off the top of my head now, but just a nice cap of the game where it's like, everyone's always talked about Matt LaFleur coming off the Sean McVay tree. And it's like, well, God, it really is to that point now where Matt LaFleur, I mean, he is now the most winningest coach in NFL history, I believe. So the chatter started with
winning percentage wise.
Yes. And the chatter started with him possibly being coach of the year, but thought that last play was a good summation of all that.
Yeah. I mean, he should be pretty much, well, not unanimous, but he should be the number one with a bullet in terms of coach of the year candidates. You just look at all the injuries for this team. It's insane. But in terms of the last play, the debacle that, McVay, I mean, it's the same coach that went for it on fourth and one on his own 30. So that sort of poor management isn't super surprising in the same game. And then just, I love the play by Amos on the onside recovery to just not even wait the 10 yards and just go lay your whole entire body on top of it and, game over.
Yeah, God, it's weird because I think we all have that PTSD now, obviously, with the game in Seattle back in 2014. But it's one of those two where you watch the kick and it's like I'm watching it in real time and I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I'd want to wait for the ball to get there or just pounce on it, because that's kind of what, the guy did back in 2014, who I won't want to, I don't want to say his name. But
No.
Yeah, it's... And did you even notice the Darnell Savage hit on that last play too, being at the game? Did you see a replay or anything of it?
I didn't. And I actually haven't even seen a replay of it. But yeah, now that you mentioned, I remember that was kind of the talk. But yeah, I'll have to look that up and then put whoever hit him on my shit list.
Yeah, I forgot the dude's name, but Ross Uglum on Twitter, who he follows a lot of college stuff too. He said that dude's been a cheap player his entire career, so he was not surprised to see him take that one free hit. Once again, I think someone else said it too, where it's like, yeah, of course, the Rams really are that team where they try to play tough, and yeah, they're only going to really hit you like that when the game's out of reach and when it's kind of a cheap shot, but
yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
Douchebag move, but... moving on, we can go right to the offense. As I said, the Packers won the football game 26-28. We start off at quarterback, which we always do. Aaron Rodgers seems to be hitting his stride once again when it really matters, especially at Lambeau Field. He was 28 out of 45, 307 yards, the two touchdowns. And we talked about it. The run was one thing, really cool play. It does make me think, too. So he had the big spike, which he said on the Pat McAfee show, actually landed in like the first row, which, God, can you imagine? Can you imagine getting that ball? If I get that ball, what would you do, Kyle? What do you do when you get that ball?
Ooh, I just hold it like a baby, probably give it a couple kisses, and then, probably never let go. I don't know.
Because I'm getting it, and I maybe this is bad to say, I am running out of the stadium. No one is taking this ball from me. I do not want the Packers PR people to talk to me. The game is great and everything, but an Aaron Rodgers rushing touchdown spike that I caught, I'm getting out of there, and I'm not letting anyone try to get that ball out of my hands, whoever they
right,
are.
Right, because that element of the story of how it's literally a spike from a rushing touchdown
right.
really just brings it that football to a whole new meaning.
Yeah, and going along with that too, something that popped in my head, because he's had a couple rushing touchdowns this year. Now, obviously the one in Chicago as well, but it does make me think too, you know, we don't know what his future holds, but have we seen the last Lambeau leap from Aaron Rodgers? I know it's been a couple years too, but he's had his chances this year and we haven't seen it. Maybe he's turned on the fans, Kyle. What do you think about that?
Okay. No. All right. I see what you're trying to do. No, he's come on. We have not seen the last Lambeau leap from Aaron Rodgers. We might have seen his last Lambeau leap this season, just because it's getting a little colder and his muscles might be getting a little tighter a little sooner. But, that's not to say next September when we're running it back after a Super Bowl ring, we don't get a elated Rodgers jumping into the end zone week one when we host the Patriots as a Super Bowl rematch week one. So
we shall see.
Something to think about.
Yeah, I do. It's stupid, but I'm sure everyone else has thought of it too. But you do have to wonder, like, if players are thinking of the COVID protocols when they're thinking about doing a Lambeau, especially with
because that was Razul, because he went in face first, you right, know, yeah. So he's getting all them particles.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, what if Lambeau had it where they had their rules, like you had to be masked up or have some type of face shield if you're in the first row in the splash area, the leap zone at Lambeau Field? Because God, that would be, maybe that's what Rodgers was referring to when he was saying he knew he didn't get COVID at his Halloween party or whatever. But either way, no complaints about Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people were starting to get on him too. I know Ryan Wood, who writes for the Green Bay, has said he's turned. We talked about him season one about being kind of pompous. Like he talked about the Washington game going into it, how the Washington football team wasn't even like a legitimate NFL team, and they were within one score of that game. And God, this year too, he keeps pushing this narrative, which, I mean, sure, where, you know, Rodgers didn't, he only practiced twice in the span of a month and how he was rusty. And now his argument is just that, he doesn't get practice reps, so the reps he gets are on the field, and now he's finally shaken off that rust. As if, you know, as if Aaron Rodgers hasn't been playing in the league for, what, 17, 18 years now, and he needed to play to learn how to play football again? I just hate how some of these reporters build their own little narratives to try to like put themselves into the storyline more than they need to. Cause it's like, dude, no one's thinking about that. And especially after these last 2 weeks, like how could you really even argue that shit?
Right. And yeah, I just, you know, season one me would probably, you know, rejoice in your bitterness and agree with you. But, you know, you realize that he's got content to put out and he's got, you know, narratives to spin. So I try not to get, you know, bitter about that anymore, unless it's incessant and
okay. And
almost obviously vindictive.
All right. Well,
but who knows?
Well, that's good. You're more mature than I am, I guess. We'll see. I'm sure I'll find some clip of something he says.
No,
couple weeks, and it'll be a take news bet, I'm sure.
and I'll bring the wrath. Don't worry. I'm in good spirits after a good week. So I'm feeling forgiving.
All right. That's very fair. Moving on to the wide receivers, starting off with one, of course, Davante Adams, 8 receptions, 104 yards, no touchdowns. He did have the play where he caught it, ran out of bounds and ran into, I don't know if people noticed this, but it was Dr. McKenzie, the lead doctor for the Green Bay Packers, head of the medical staff, which is funny. I'm sure there might have been a couple other people who thought of this too. Yep, he ran into him, helped him up, put his stocking cap back on and everything. But it does remind me or bring me back to last year or the year before. I think it was last year before the Saints game where Devontae tweeted, quote, "Sorry, fans and friends, I won't be on the field tonight. I've done everything I need to, and I've proved I'm ready, but I guess I don't know my body as well as others. Good luck out there, my boys." And McKenzie is the guy who would have final say with him not playing. So I just thought it was kind of funny. Of all the people he ran into, it happened to be Pat McKenzie, who's the team doctor.
So everyone speaks very highly. When was that?
Last year before the Saints game. Remember the Lazard game when he was out? Yep.
Yep. And it sounds like the beef is squashed. That's good to hear.
One would think so. I hope so. I think the only player on the Packers who didn't like Pat McKenzie was, of course, Martellus Bennett.
Sam Shields.
Oh, yeah, it's Sam Shields too, I guess. That's a good point. Moving on, Randall Cobb, 4 catches, 95 yards, the 1 touchdown. Just, once again, we get one of these games from him every couple of weeks where it's like, oh, holy shit, he's still a pretty good football player, huh? He obviously didn't even play the second half with that groin injury, which did occur on the touchdown. So I think he did play even after that. He sustained that injury, so hopefully it's nothing long-term. Matt LaFleur wouldn't get into it, but once again, the safety valve, Randall Cobb, had a solid day. I'll just keep going right into this. Alan Lazard, it's with Randall Cobb's reemergence, it's almost like it's, you know, we talked a lot about Amari Rodgers maybe getting his, you know, getting overlooked with Cobb coming out of the team, but God, it's like the freaking Space Jam ball type deal with Lazard and Cobb, where Lazard's been so good in his career with the Packers, being the third down guy and never dropping the ball. And this was just about the worst game he's had in his career, too. He had just the 2 receptions for 13 yards. But God, he had a couple drops in this game where it's very strange to see him performing like that.
Yeah. Back to Cobb, though.
Yep.
His touchdown was real. I loved that play. It felt like 2014 because he was coming out of the backfield and he ran that little halfback angle, and it was perfect. And he was wide open. And then, of course, the long run he had, just the long reception he had, absolutely incredible throw by Rodgers. Ho-hum, once again, threaded the needle. Not only threaded the needle between, like, 2 defensive backs, but then also – kind of floated it over a linebacker who was fully stretched out. And yeah, you just, again, another throw that is just like, just appears regular, but is just an unbelievable throw in terms of timing and chemistry with Cobb that, it's like, it almost sometimes doesn't feel real that Randall Cobb found his way back home, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, that was one of the shots. I think Fox showed it right away, too, and it didn't go viral, but a couple people reposted, too. I think Kurt Banker, the third-string quarterback, did. But, yeah, that like, not all 22 angle, but just from the defensive backfield, where you see the ball literally just go through the linebacker's hands and then right to Cobb in stride. It's like, Jesus, you couldn't ask for a better ball in that situation. It's, you know, just ho-hum, yeah. Another day for Aaron Rodgers. Moving on after that to the running backs, surprise active player, Aaron Jones. One, surprising that he played with the bye week coming up, and 2, that he started the game. He didn't have a ton of carries. He only finished with 10 carries, 23 yards. So 2.3 average, but to start the game, it was very surprising to see, not the best game out of him, But, I mean, you can't complain too much when A.J. Dillon had the game he had. He had 20 carries, 69 yards, 5 receptions, 21 yards, and the 1 touchdown. Mm. He's the fourth highest rated. He was the fourth highest rated player on offense for the Packers. I believe he's the fourth highest rated running back in the NFL right now. And once again, Rodgers. Well, here, perfect. We're gonna have Hank enter the chat right now. Hank.
Oh heck yeah.
Well, he's coming in. He'll get what's going on. One thing that Matt LaFleur said after the game too on Monday. He reiterated that he truly believes that they are now a 1A and 1B on offense, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So kind of surprising to finally hear that, but I was happy to hear that. Here we go. Hank, are you on right now? Can you talk? We can see you.
Hold on one sec. I'm trying to get everything hooked up here. I'm on Aunt's loaner computer that she got from work.
Okay.
So she does accounting for one of the grain factories in town, and so the computer is a little crummy, like literally there's a little bit of crumbs on it, and so I'm trying to just make sure I can set it up to, you know, my JBL,
okay,
headphones here.
I think. Well, you sound great.
Yeah. Here we go. It's going great. How's everyone doing?
We're great. We're on to
really good.
We're on to running backs. Hank, why don't we just?
Oh,
you couldn't have joined at a better time. What did you think of AJ Dillon's game on Sunday?
Hold on. This is the one possession I have, and
wow,
I don't know if you want to screenshot it.
Yeah, this is a podcast, so this is great that you're showing something visually. But
my AJ Dillon RPA. It's a mosaic card.
Wow.
It has, it's been, and the lighting is really great in the basement here.
Okay.
And so, but I just got to say, hashtag stonks.
Yeah.
Because we're really shooting up here on the AJ Dillon. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think. He's just like the perfect guy.
Yeah,
you know.
And right before we started recording too, or you joining in here, I did say that Matt LaFleur did refer to the two running backs as 1A, 1B, so it's kind of, you know, a complete dual position there now. I think at the beginning of the year it didn't seem that way, where God, there was some games where AJ Dillon had less than 5 carries, so it's nice to see once it's getting colder that we're seeing more of AJ Dillon on the field too.
Can we just return to that first Saints game when the announcers would not stop talking about how much we missed Jamal Williams?
That was week 2 when we played the Lions.
When we played the Lions. Yeah. Oh my gosh, painful, right? Like, I mean, I was so upset week 2 because of that.
Yeah, it would be nice to go back and hear what they were actually saying too, because it was all we and I complained going into that week too, like, oh, all we're gonna do is get these Jamal Williams stories and how much we're gonna miss him and all of that. And I mean, you kind of feel bad for him, but it's not like, I mean, he's on a 0-8 and I mean the winless Lions at this point. You kind of feel for him.
Yeah,
I do miss him though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I do too. I'm just gonna apologize. I gotta make chicken here.
That looks so good.
Yeah, I know. Look at this. I mean, like, it looks like it was well made. Like, the mayo is squirting out the side.
Whoa, need a good mayo squirt. Yeah. That's exciting.
And then
good
I got a nice quarter pounder, and I always add mayo to my quarter pounders. McDonald's mayo, I don't know, like, if they made a face cream that was just McDonald's mayo.
Yuck.
Like, I don't know.
What if they made an ice cream?
An ice cream? Mayo ice cream? I may try it.
I don't know if many people have an opinion on McDonald's mayo, but if I had to guess someone who would, I would have guessed Hank, so that shouldn't be very surprising to hear.
Yeah, there's one right across the street from the Menards, and so it was one of those things where got out late. I mean, sometimes there's just carts that need to be wheeled in. You know, I was just like, I gotta get something in the stomach. I gotta make sure I'm, you know, like Popeye eats spinach. I eat McChickens. So,
all right. That makes a lot of sense. Moving on to tight end. We talked about him a little bit earlier, Josiah DeGuara. He did finish with, where am I here? Just the two receptions for 13 yards, but he had the catch on fourth down that we talked about. And I think he's filling in for Tonyan pretty well. At least he's becoming more of a reliable option as the weeks go on. Rodgers after the game said, quote, "He's not a good route runner. He's more like a fullback, but at the same time, I don't know. It's
Tonyan." Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
He explicitly said he's not a good route runner.
Yeah. That is the quote that he said.
Like, that's a direct quote.
I'd have to look back. It's a lot worse out of context and just in text. I think he said he's not like especially a great route runner, but I don't know. He's making it happen.
Yeah, he's not a great route runner is a lot different than he's not a good route runner. It's not that different, but
okay. I'll have to look back.
You know what? I don't know. Like my first job, my first day at the job at Menards, one of the things that told me is like, you know, you're not quite there with customers yet, but like, you know, you're good with the boards and you're good with the carts. And so like, I don't know, I feel like sometimes I guess you need like the board and cart guy. You know, I wouldn't say that I've gotten better with people. But I do hope Josiah DeGuara gets better with his routes. So, it is a backhanded compliment, but I don't know. Sometimes you need the grit guys.
Yeah. We'll
see. I don't even think it's a backhanded compliment. I think it's just a backhanded.
Yeah, it's just, that's very true. there's not much complimenting there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Rodgers finds different ways to lead and motivate people. And I guess this is just another one of those. I mean, we do still have to kind of think of the guy as a rookie because, you know, he tore his ACL week two last year, whatever it was. So we'll see. Moving on, big dog Mercedes Lewis. Two receptions, 4 yards, and I think I jinxed him pretty much right after I said every time he catches the ball, he breaks at least one tackle, and I think every time since then, he's gotten tackled by the first guy. He did fumble on that one play, too, and he was the lowest-rated player on offense this week, according to Pro Football Focus, so something to think about. We'll see what happens with him, but I don't know. You would think when it's getting colder, too, he might get a little more involved, kind of like an A.J. Dillon type that people wouldn't want to tackle him. But we'll see. He's been a little quiet the last couple weeks. Moving on to the offensive line, the Packers only gave up the one sack towards the end of the game there.
Unreal.
On that one little run for the 0-yard gain. Yeah, it's so weird because obviously, Rod, you know, the offense was completely fine on Sunday, but according to Pro Football Focus, three of the lowest graded players were Runyon, Patrick, and Newman. So, I don't know. We'll see. They can only really get better at this point. Lucas Patrick, he's kind of starting to make a name for himself, I guess. He had that one personal foul, and then later on, we all saw the replay of him literally getting choked by Aaron Donald. I kind of like seeing this, though, not so much him getting choked, but like the personal foul stuff. It's once again this kind of new Packers team aura that we have going on where they're a lot tougher than teams we've had in the past. Yeah, Lucas Patrick's kind of been that gritty guy, too, even when he was even more of a reserve player against the Falcons in 2017, 2018 is when he ran up and kind of started a bit of a brawl, not a brawl, but, you know, a little scuffle on the field after someone hit Rodgers late. So it's nice to see that. And obviously he got inside Donald's head because he ended up getting choked by him, which for some reason was not a foul. So
I know why it wasn't, because the refs are scared of Donald. Like they're not gonna call out anyone you're scared of.
Yeah. That's fair. Right. I mean I'd be scared of that guy too. He is an animal.
I mean, I got to say that, like, yeah, I've been a pretty big fan of Lucas Patrick ever since Larry McCarron's Patricked videos.
I forgot
last about that. Year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like like the Lucas Patrick, you got Patrick videos need to come back.
Maybe
by Larry McCarron.
Maybe I'm actually I'm unfamiliar with that reference, but it sounds like something I would be interested in.
It was just very basic, like him pancaking the guy, and then he'd be like, "You've been Patricked." Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But it did make me think this might have
but
been...
sorry.
So okay. Okay.
The overall let me just cut this. This is why I hate the Zoom. This is a first and last time we're doing the Zoom. It's these whole 1 second delays, the worst. But I just want to say, like, how does Goody and Stenovich do it? How do they do it? Like, we're on third, like multiple third stringers across the line, and they give up 1 0-yard sack against Aaron Donald and washed Von Miller. I mean, who is Von? Like, did he even play on Sunday? It's just incredible. You got Yosh, who is like second game ever against, you know, a D-line like that. And just, you know, like I said, second and third stringers across the line. And he was protected so well all day. It's just, once again, props to Goody and props to Stenovich, the O-line coach.
It's something that Roger said after the game, too. Once again, almost like a backhanded compliment. This one is a backhanded compliment. How he said he told Yosh towards the end of the game, you know, he forgot that he was even
Yosh.
Playing. Yosh. And also, I'd like to clarify this too. It's Yosh Nijman. You do pronounce the J. Rogers has been saying that. And the more he's
people have been
too.
Saying Nijman.
Yeah. So you do pronounce the J in Yosh Nijman.
Nijman?
Nijman, I believe. Nijman. We might still be saying it incorrectly, like the rest of his last name, but it does bring up a question. A lot of people have talked about it this week too, is, you know, what the hell do we do with Yosh going forward? I'm not sure what his contract actually is. Probably could have looked into that, but, you know, he's someone who we kind of thought was on the roster bubble after training camp, and he's a legit left tackle in this league, it seems like. You know, he started 4 games now at this point, and I've said it a ton too, and a bunch of people have, how you can never have enough left tackles, and if you have like one good tackle period, you're doing better than most of the league. It does go back.
Yes.
And Kyle, I know you hate this, but it's something I talked about too, and it's not like I regret doing this or that I'm upset it happened. But David Bakhtiari's contract, you know, he's one of the top highest paid left tackles in the league. We've got a very weird problem now with, you know, we have him. We have, obviously, Elgton Jenkins coming back from his ACL injury now. We have Billy Turner, who will probably get cut after the season. I wonder what the hell we're going to do with Yosh.
Let's all just step back and just kind of take a deep breath. I love Yosh, obviously, but it's been 2 starts.
4.
David Bakhtiari is still David Bakhtiari. Has it been?
Yep.
Has it been 4? What? I thought it was just the Niners and the Rams.
No, because Elton was out 3 weeks because I remember they said that thrown him on the IR. But, you know, and everyone's
said, to your point, that is true. He does look like a legit starting tackle in this league. But David Bakhtiari is still David Bakhtiari.
And I don't wanna trash Jordan Love or anything, and it's a weird thing, but the way everyone talks about Yosh is crazy, because Billy Turner said he's literally the most explosive player on the team. Matt LaFleur's only said glowing things, and it's like, it's weird to hear people describe him, you know, as opposed to all these other players that are on the team. And Yosh, you know, came in as a 4th string tackle, and now it's like, what the hell are we going to do with him? On Blue 58 this week too, John Meerdink brought this up. Yosh did play right tackle his final season at Virginia Tech, so maybe it will be something this offseason where we move him over to right tackle. Elton comes back and plays guard, and Bakhtiari, you know, handles the left side. But it's a great problem to have right now when you have such an athletic freak that you weren't expecting to play tackle.
Yeah, you know, like, this is
my
thing.
What was the go ahead, Hank.
Oh, I was just gonna say, you know, like, Like, I obviously, like, I like big thighs, you know. I like big sandwiches. I just like big guys in general, you know. And, like, to just see, like, that big of a guy out there, you know. Like, just, I don't know, you know. It's just, like, putting something that large, someone that large on the line, like, your line is already top 10. You know, just in terms of looks.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and
look the part. Yeah, that's half the battle.
And we talked about that before too. In the Bengals game, he literally was running just about. I mean, he wasn't as fast, but he was in on the play with Aaron Jones on like a little screen or run up the middle, and he was like step with step for him almost. He is like the most athletic guy on the team, which is just crazy.
Well, and you know,
yeah, you gave quite the tease though, Spence. What was the backhanded compliment that Yash got from Rodgers?
Oh, I thought I said it, just that he forgot that he was even Rodgers forgot that he was even playing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's not really a
well. That's okay. How good he was. You know, he forgot that Yosh was even starting because there's no problems on that side of the line.
Oh, Yosh, how many times am I going to have to do this?
I don't know. I just keep saying both every time.
At this point, I think you should just lean into it, Spence. You know, one thing I didn't mention is, like, you know what Yosh has the biggest of?
Oh, boy, what?
Biggest heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, God.
That is, if nothing Nailed else, it. Everyone on the team, too. I think Devontae said it, where he's the nicest guy on the team, far and away. And we got a snippet of that too when, you know, his first start, he was like, oh, I'm just so happy to be out here with you guys. Moving on to the defense. Once again, I mean, what can you say? Joe Barry is a wizard at this point. We'll start off with the secondary.
Mr. Scary.
Yeah, Mr. Scary Barry. Rasul Douglas, highest rated player on defense. I swear he's like one of the best tackling corners we've had in a long time too. And on top of that, he's like an explosive player, which is very odd to see from like the cornerback position, especially someone who is just kind of signed onto the team. He's always taking risks to either, you know, tip the ball or pick something off. It's almost like, and I know this is stupid, but that's part of the podcast. I wish we could take some of his aggression and ball skills and give it to Eric Stokes. Because if we could find a middle ground between the two of them, we would have, I mean, already it's two great corners. But if you could do that, it's like we would have at least two more picks on the season from Eric Stokes.
Yeah, he seems to have great ball skills. And God, the play on the screen that he sniffed out. He literally like,
yes,
he juked out of a blocker. He like slid under it and made Whitworth, who granted is like 39 years old, completely whiff. And he made the play. And I mean, he looked to have a lot of green grass in front of him. I think he would have definitely picked up the first down, if not possibly scored, because they were around like the 30 yard line. And yeah, that was an incredibly, incredibly underrated play from Douglas. But he was, I mean, that was like one of like six plays he made on Sunday. Just an unbelievable game from Rasul. Probably his best so far as a Packer.
Yeah, it was in that that play too. It was kind of reminiscent of Jair, you know, breaking up the screen. So it's nice that he's kind of carrying that torch after, you know, Jair obviously being out since that shoulder injury that he sustained. But overall, I mean, the secondary, I don't know what else you can really say. Sullivan got burnt a couple times. Stokes was good enough. And the two safeties, it's like they just don't really make mistakes unless it's Savage dropping an INT.
So yeah, that's not much more you can ask for. Just I'll say it every week, I'm so thankful for Adrian Amos. He's such a just like a stable presence back there. Like, you just feel like you're taken care of with him on the field, and that everyone's going to be, you know, in the right spot and in the right assignment.
It does make
me... I never thought about that, but he has just such dad energy.
He does,
you know.
He does have that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, and you know, he's really good at helping out whoever's next to him too, because the big talk when we first signed him was that Eddie Jackson was the better safety of the two in Chicago, And since he left, Eddie's really kind of fallen off, and Savage has only gotten better. So, and Amos is in a contract year this year as well. We don't have to get into that, but I do wonder, you know, how Savage will look without Amos next to him, you know, in the future. So
I don't want to.
Yeah, we're not thinking about that
thought. So let's not.
I know. I'm always the one with the bad thoughts. Moving on to inside linebacker, Chris Barnes, second highest rated player on defense. I'm a little under the weather as well. Led the team in tackles. He had the stop on his screen as well, which was very weird. He like kind of slipped and then got back up and made the tackle on the running back, who I just assumed thought he was out of the play. So just kind of a sneaky good game from Chris Barnes overall. Campbell, this is one of his lowest graded games, actually. First time I've seen him as a bottom five ranked player for the Packers defense. But at the same time, he was fourth lowest ranked and Kenny Clark was fifth lowest. So I think we could go back to saying, you know, PFF sucks. This is one of the weeks where we can say, you know, PFF sucks. So we can just roll along with that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about consistency.
Especially on the heels of an AJ Dillon week, it's a perfect time to say PFF sucks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Moving on, outside linebacker, Preston Smith, another great game, five pressures, led the team. He has 21 pressures in the last three games. He had 15 in the first nine games total. Jake Morley on Twitter posted that. So I thought he's been pretty consistent all year, but I mean, he's just been an animal or was an animal for the month of November. And Rashawn Gary, we talked about him a little bit earlier too, Hank, with the sack fumble that he forced too. He did have the four pressures, but you know, with Za'Darius being out and losing Whitney Mercilus, it's been nice to still get this pressure, pretty much only rushing four in this game too. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Packers rushed four on, I want to say, like 80% of the plays, where it really was just they wanted to drop back and see if Stafford was going to make a mistake, and he did end up doing that quite a bit in this game.
Yeah, and obviously the fumble recovery is huge by Preston, and I'm so thankful for Preston. Like, what a resurgence he's had. So cool to see. Like I think this is his third year here, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was just, I'm a little remorseful, a little shamed, you know, of how quickly I was ready to write him off and say get off the team in the first half of last year. But then he really turned it around towards the end and has obviously really carried into this season. And he's been, again, one of the best. I mean, you could say he's been one of the best players on the defense by about a lot of guys on this defense. But Preston, you know, particularly, he really has been really good on that edge and super reliable and healthy, knock on wood.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he did miss the one game for some of his career, but God, you don't see any type of, you know, it hasn't affected him whatsoever going on. Him and Gary have been so good, and I don't think I've said this on the show, but I am not apprehensive, maybe a little apprehensive. I almost want to treat Za'Darius, if or when he comes back, kind of like KGB late in his career or for the majority of his career, where he's kind of, you know, he was kind of a smaller body, but strictly a pass rushing specialist. We've been so good at one, getting pressure, but two, setting the edge. I mean, I can't remember, I'm sure it's happened, but runners just don't bust outside against this Packers defense anymore. And it was something that happened much, especially obviously in the Niners playoff game a couple of years ago. So I would be apprehensive of bringing Za'Darius back just because that's probably one of the biggest flaws in his game was the run game at times, or in those big games where it seems like he was a little more headhunting for these sacks. And it's just like, it couldn't be much better right now. So if it's not broke, you know, it's kind of like a bonus plus that we get from Za'Darius.
That's a really good point where I hadn't even thought of. Yeah, like teams don't seem to be busting the edge on us really at all. And they seem to be able to with Za'Darius healthy, but I think you're playing a dangerous game to where you're setting yourself up to, you know, do the same thing we all did last year with Preston, yep, like I just mentioned. So I would not, I think it's silly. I don't know what you mean by apprehensive to bring him back, but if you mean by, like, you know, you're hesitant to bring him back and play him, I think that's quite absurd, Spence.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, he turns into the third guy in the rotation instead of being one of the top two, like he's been for his whole career with the Packers. You know, one of those type deals where,
okay, yeah,
passing situations.
I hear you.
Moving on.
I'm not gonna lie, Spencer. Okay. I had those similar thoughts.
There you go.
The other day, I don't know. It feels really bad. But I definitely was like, what if Za'Darius jumps on that line and it's like 2019 all over again?
Right. You'd hope
it is tough change, because but... you really cannot take Rashawn Gary off the field at this point. You yeah, can't. I mean, it's like, and you can't even really, I don't even feel like you should take Preston off the field either. So yeah, shit. Maybe you're absolutely right, Spence. Damn.
Yeah. We'll see. It will be interesting too, because, you know, and we've talked about it before, Mike Pettine did use Z in that kind of rover role where he'd move all over the line, almost like a, you know, inside linebacker or, you know, defensive lineman, where maybe that's what Barry will do with him. But also at this point, this is Joe Barry's defense, so maybe he doesn't have that same type of role for Za'Darius going forward. But either way, once again, it's a good problem to have, to be like, oh, what do you do with Za'Darius once he's back on the team? Moving on to the defensive line, Kenny Clark is a monster. Also, we're recording on December 1st, so the December has once again returned in this last game.
It is December season. Let's go.
Kenny on Sunday had 3 pressures. He has the second most pressures in the NFL for defensive linemen. Last year was probably, like, I don't know, I don't want to say his worst year as a pro, but, you know, right after the contract, I think we were expecting more. And now that he's been healthy, he's passed that groin injury, he's been an absolute monster, just throwing guys on the offensive line. It's crazy to see someone playing at the professional level, making guys look like absolute, like, straw men out there. Kingsley Keke had 4 pressures, same as Gary. Even in the game, once again, they seem to just kind of mirror each other's production at times. Obviously, Keke isn't as productive, but when Gary has a good game, Keke does too. But once again, I mean, that front 7, you can't really say anything else about those guys. It's been pretty great all year.
Yeah, Kenny, there's not enough nice things to say about him. And to be fair about his last season, yes, he probably did struggle compared to the rest of his career. But he was pretty banged up all year. Like, it wasn't just the groin. I mean, he had like a back issue too,
yep,
I think.
Yep.
But yeah, he seems to be 100% this year, despite that kind of scary situation, I think, a couple weeks ago, where we thought it was going to be an extended absence, but it was only one half of football he missed. And then obviously the play where on against the Rams, where he like pounced. I mean, he literally like jumped. He like leaps 3 yards to make the tackle at the line of scrimmage. It was quite the play, and that's just, you know, that's just perfect Kenny right there.
Yeah, you know what's like, Kyle, this is kind of off course, which I've never really done before, so bear with me. But isn't it strange how when like such a large man goes down, you just always expect he's down for like a year? Versus like when a smaller guy goes down, you're like, oh, it's, you know, he'd probably come back. I don't know. There's just right, like, yeah, which makes that Kenny injury even like more, I don't know. It's just wild he came back so fast.
Right. You know. Especially a back injury for a position like that, for a size like that. Yeah. It's, mm-hmm, it's quite amazing that he played even the next week.
I think it shows you once again too how conservative the Packers medical staff is. I mean, MVS was out those 4 games when he thought he wasn't going to miss a game. And like we said, Stokes and Kenny, God, what game was that even? You know, pre-game, they both got hurt. That might have been the Washington football Bears game. I can't remember. But both of them, you know, got knocked out and they're both back the next week. So it's nice that we're once again just playing it like it's preseason. Moving on to
the MBS one, though.
Oh, okay. Yep.
The MBS injury, though, I was completely fine with, because have you ever had like a lingering hamstring like strain or pull? Like, that shit can last forever. And yeah, that with, especially with the type of player MVS is, where it's one of the fastest in the league and we need him to stretch a field like that. Yeah, that was a-okay.
Yeah. Moving on to the special teams, which we once again have to talk about. Once again, I've been saying it all year. You cannot take your piss break, your bathroom break during any type of special teams play. We'll start on this. Amari Rodgers, still not great on punt returns. He had the, I believe, the first one of the game, he kind of slipped and the ball got past him and we got kind of pinned near the 5 yard line. And then after that, I believe in the second quarter, Cobb came in and he muffed one. And it's kind of a weird situation too, because Maurice Drayton said this week that that was kind of the plan to have Cobb come in, where he said if the winds pick up and it's more of a treacherous type environment, they're going to put Randall Cobb in instead of Amari Rodgers, which if you have to have that type of plan, it's like, why is Amari out there in the first place? But then your backup plan, your safety valve is Randall Cobb, who fumbled. So I don't know. It's kind of a cluster at this point. We'll have to see what happens with Randall Cobb to see if he's even an option back there.
That was a bizarre situation. Like, cause that was the first thing I would look for when the punt return team would go out, is who was back there. And when I saw Cobb, I shot up. I was so excited. I was like, yes. You know, you just felt so secure. Like, all right, Packers football, here we go. Like, you know, we're good. And now it's like, well, shit. Now I got trust issues all over again.
Yeah. Well, I assume Amari's going to be the guy, but God, it's, even the ones he catches just don't feel right every time it happens. Mason Crosby was 3 for 4, doinked the 42 yarder, back to back weeks of doinks. I don't know. It's,
and it's so weird.
They didn't even look good.
He and it's like up to, well, I mean, oh, I mean, I thought his field goals up to that point were fine. And then, you know, he was lining up for that one. And I was thinking to myself, all right, Mason, he's going to have a great get back game. Yep. Like, you know, this is the game that kind of gets us rolling again and gets us, you know, a little more secure in the field goal unit. And then he does that. And it's like, well, fuck, we're back to square one.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Maurice Drayton said too. And he said after the game, you know, they were so happy for kind of the most complete team win they've really had. But then that last field goal he missed, and he said that's the only thing that was holding them back from all out celebrating. But
yep,
we'll see. Once again, I mean, two doinks in a row. We're just literally like a complete foot away between two kicks of him not having any misses the last 2 weeks. But it's going to be something we'll have to think about the rest of the year. One last thing to talk about with special teams is EQ. He's turned into an absolute ace, which is crazy. And I sent this over to you guys this week too, which I just think is bizarre. Ace.
Wow, Spenny.
He's been awesome. He's been absolutely awesome. And I think in one of the offseason episodes we had too.
Love a good special teams ace.
For sure. Just the build of him. I think when we were talking about roster cuts and I said I didn't think EQ was going to make it, how it's weird that someone with this build, with the speed and being kind of a bigger bodied receiver, like he would be so great on special teams, but it just didn't happen. And then Ryan Wood tweeted this out from EQ's interview this week. EQ said he'd be happy just going through career, not getting cut. He was talking about how after getting cut, it was kind of an awakening moment for him. And then Rodgers texting him and telling him to come back on the practice squad. But goes on to say, but the experience taught him he needed to refocus on special teams. That's why he felt he got cut. Quote, it was a want to thing, not an ability thing. And he goes on just saying he's made his mark as a guy on punts this season. So he pretty much admitted that, I mean, this is being a little over the top here, but he kind of thought he was above having to do special teams to the point that it legitimately got him cut. We're coming back and making the 53. Now he's kind of refocusing and making that part of his game. And him and Bojo, it's been a great combination, because those pin balls that we have, it's been either him or Isaac Yiadom early on in the season. And he's the guy that's making those plays now.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's, it's wild to think that it took that to make him realize he needs to be good on special teams to, you know, want a good NFL career. But at the same time, like, I guess to kind of, from his perspective, like, he has been the man his whole life playing football. Like, he's probably never played special teams ever.
Right.
And like, obviously people always talk about him, you know, having all the physical traits for an elite wide receiver. And so I'm sure he is aware of that as well. And yeah, like, it's just like, I understand why he didn't think he needed to like go all out for special teams, but it's good that he finally realizes it. And it's very clear he's extremely capable.
Yes. Yeah. But, yeah, shoot. That's all I had for this game. Pretty fun game overall. Hank, I guess we didn't get your first thoughts on this. What did you think of the game? Did you have fun watching the game on Sunday?
I had a great time. I had such a good time. It was just like, it's kind of like pure bliss. Like, especially, like knowing Kyle was there. I don't know. I have a friend who's there. I have a friend. And then, it was, I don't know, just like then the Vikings losing, which it just felt like stuff in the world was right again.
Yes.
And I don't know, it was just, and like, just to see the team kind of dominate the way it did. I think that it just felt, I just don't know when we've had like gritty wins like this. It just, they feel like just gritty, and tough. And, it just had this, it's just like kind of a new feeling. And so you kind of just like appreciate it in ways that like you didn't, like, I didn't know I could appreciate it.
Well, very well said.
Well said. One more thing about the game. One thing I didn't even realize it was happening until it was happening. Honoring Charles Woodson at halftime.
Oh yeah.
Fuck. Another moment I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Like they revealed the Charles Woodson, thing up in the, I don't know what you call that. Like the panel. I don't know where like Brett Favre and Reggie White and all that shit are.
Yep. The Ring of Honor.
That was, I didn't know that was happening until it was happening. I'm like, holy shit, this is cool. And he gave a great speech. I'm sure you guys saw snippets of it, but yep. I mean, there was like a weird moment where he was like, yeah, before I came here, I was going to retire, but now I'm up there for forever. And obviously the crowd went nuts and I was going nuts, but then I'm like, wait, what? You were going to retire? Like you were in your prime.
Well, that was kind of reported on too, where, and I think we talked about it, the first season too, how he wasn't like Charles Woodson anymore when we signed him. Like he was free agency started and he signed like 3 weeks or a full month after, like he was a back end type free agent to the point where he didn't even really want to sign with Green Bay, but they were far and away the best offer he got. And obviously you could not have had a better career move at that point than, signing with Green Bay and, the defensive player of the year and all the runs that he went on with the Packers. So
I'm glad I remembered to bring this up because I also wanted to bring this up. And I challenge both of you. This could be like maybe an off-season content idea. But I implore you to find me a football career, a complete football career in terms of accolades that is better than Charles Woodson. It is insane. It might take a minute or two to read off, but let me just start by saying he was Mr. Football in Ohio in 94, which Ohio, I'm pretty sure, is a very, very good football state. He was a high school All-American, two-time first-team All-American in college. He was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year in 95, defensive player, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year in 97, Big Ten Player of the Year in 97, Jim Thorpe Award in 97, which is the best defensive back, Chuck Bednarik Award in 97, which is like the best defensive player, Bronco Nagurski, a Walter Kitt. Like these are all just different best player awards, basically.
Did he win a Heisman?
Heisman Trophy in 97. He's the only defensive player ever to win a Heisman, which is insane. They won the national championship in 97, the Art Rooney Award in 15. I can't remember what that's for. I think that's like a community thing, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Anyways, NFL 2000s all-decade team. He led the league in interceptions 2 times, 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time second-team All-Pro, 4-time first-team All-Pro, and 7 years apart. Like he won first-team All-Pro in 2001, and then his next All-Pro award was in 2008, and then he was first-team in 2009 and 2011. Insane. Defensive Rookie of the Year in 98.
Jesus. Okay.
Defensive Player of the Year in 09, and the Super Bowl champion. And on top of that, he is unanimously revered by 2 NFL franchises. And when I say unanimous, like you can't, as much as I want to say, or as much as some people might think Brett Favre is, you know, unanimously loved by 2 franchises, there's still maybe some people out there like myself who hold some slight resentment towards him, but not, you know, we're over it for the most part, but there's still that, you know, slight tinge of betrayal that we feel. But Charles Woodson is obviously loved by Packers. I don't know how you could be bitter towards him if you're a Packer fan or if you're a Raiders fan. So yeah, that was a 2-minute tirade on how Charles Woodson has probably the best football career ever.
Yeah.
That tirade was pretty rad though. It was very rad.
So what nice, moment was cooler you. Than Kyle? Was it that unveiling, or was it Kevin from The Office starting off Roll Out the Barrel?
I'm a big Office fan myself, and wasn't really a big fan of Kevin in the early seasons, but he really came into form later, and good to see Kev out there without the chili stains.
Yeah, good breakdown. Yeah.
Question, like, since we're on the subject of Charles Woodson, and you guys might have already talked about this before I got here, but Woodson had some interesting stuff to say in Rich Eisen today.
What did he say?
He was talking about Rodgers being very happy with the Packers organization. I'm gonna fact check that really quickly. But yeah, I think that it was like happy enough where like he could see him come back.
Yeah, there's been so much positive stuff, and I wasn't even going to talk about this. We'll make this here we go. Take news right now. Here, drop.
Football time. Take news.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Did you have this for take news? I'm sorry if I just ruined your whole segment.
No, it's fine. That was just the drop.
For oh, take no, news. You. It sounds like you just gave us
yeah.
a great segue.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So I have the quote here from Rich Eisen.
Okay.
Maybe it's from Charles Woodson. I don't know. It's a tweet. Like I haven't like technically listened to it. I just did what most Americans do and like see something and act like they consumed it.
Mm-hmm.
As this season plays out, Aaron Rodgers is going to be more and more receptive to playing in Green Bay beyond 2021. And he like Charles Woodson told us that was the vibe he's gotten watching this like Packers season. And being there.
I mean,
very interesting.
I guess that's fine, but I have, if it's from watching it, it's like, yeah, dude, I could say the same thing because that kind of bubbled up today too, where it was talked about Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, which I didn't even catch yesterday, saying that, you know, a coach was the one leaking his injury information to Tom Pelissero, and Jason Wilde came out today on his radio show, and he actually said that he believes that it was Nathaniel Hackett who's the one who was probably talking to Tom Pelissero. One reason being Tom Pelissero a couple of weeks ago put out, you know, a top head coaching candidate thing, and Hackett was number one there. And I assume Wilde isn't just going just off of that. He also knows, you know, how they're connected. Tom Pelissero was once working for the Green Bay Gazette even back in the day. So something to think about. I don't think it actually matters. I mean, that's a very minor thing, but Mm-hmm. Overall, yes.
Well, and you know where Tom Pelissero lives, right?
Yeah, he lives over in Edina, I think, or Eden Prairie.
Plymouth.
Oh, Plymouth. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I knew.
Mm-hmm. Wait, really?
Yep.
Yep.
Damn, we're just blowing up his spot like that, huh?
Yeah. Hashtag. Well, I don't know if that's one of the Toms I like, though. I'm like pretty lukewarm on Pelissero. He has a cute smile, though. He's a charming man. Like, I'm pretty, like, I don't have any resentment towards him. He does his job well. I like him on Good Morning Football.
Here's a fun fact here. This will be the replacement. Is Kyle an idiot for a week? Kyle, I might have said this before to you. Do you know who replaced Tom Pelissero on Packers News and the Green Bay Gazette?
The Green Bay Gazette. God, who? I'm not. Is it Ryan Wood?
No, it was actually Wes Hodkowitz back in the day. He was the guy that they hired after that. And then Wes obviously now works for Packers.com, and I love Wes. Wes is like the best. Even for, you know, working for the Packers where you have to kind of be a homer.
You are Wes.
No one could be better. Yeah, I love. Yeah, he's absolutely the best.
We should get shirts that are kind of like bootleg that just say Wes is the best.
He really, and nobody is better in their GIF usage on Twitter than Wes.
Jip.
Absolutely.
And his personality makes anything he says funny. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, he's just kind of like, I don't know,
dry,
like,
humor.
Yeah, just like, I don't know, he kind of reminds you of like every kid that was like really nice to you in high school.
Yeah, I could see that. He seems like a nice, very pleasant guy. Well, we talked about this, God, I guess I could have asked this off the air, but maybe next week for the bye week bonanza, we have a draft of the best beat reporters for the Green Bay Packers. Uh-oh, Kyle didn't really like
it. Reporters is tough because isn't that pretty limited?
No, there's quite a few.
I'm sure that sounds very exciting. I cannot wait.
Okay. Moving on. Last segment.
If you make a draft pool of like potential candidates,
okay.
We can think about it.
Okay.
Can I pick Wes four times?
I don't think that would be allowed. My internet connection isn't stable. Okay, moving on. We're already running a little long here, so we can get right into it. We don't have a preview this week because, if you know, as you guys know, we're on a bye next week, so we might as well look into the playoffs now. Packers obviously are 9-3. We are second overall in the NFC behind the Cardinals, who are coming off a bye. They are 9-2. The Bucks are 8-3. Cowboys and Rams are 7-4. Niners are 6-5. And the Washington football team, Vikings, Falcons, Saints are all 5-6. The Cardinals, who are obviously ahead of us, like I said, their remaining schedule is against the Bears, Rams, Lions, Colts, Cowboys, Seahawks. So just want to get a gauge here. What do you guys think going forward? Maybe this could be a little second half preview of the season, you know, a little more than the second half here. But how do we feel looking into the playoffs here going forward, Kyle?
I feel phenomenal. Obviously, the one seed is everything. Well, not everything, but you would just love to have the security of not having to go on the road at all.
Yep.
And it's obviously extremely doable. We'll have the tiebreak over the Cardinals if they lose one more. And they got some tough opponents on their schedule. I mean, go Rams when they play them.
Yeah.
Go Colts, maybe not the Cowboys, depending on, because that's week 17, depending on how that shakes out. But, and we would have, because the Bucks are 8-3, and we would have the tiebreak over them if we both won out and we both won, finish with three losses, right?
I could only assume so because of common opponents. Yeah.
So. Yeah, and we're technically the two seed, so it wouldn't make sense for them to jump us somehow. Yeah. I'm really worried about the one seed. That's why, like, it's almost like I know you joke this is preseason, but like, I think maybe preseason ends around now-ish, because now it's like, you know, let's get the one seed and let's get home field advantage.
Yeah, it's because when I was talking at the beginning of the year too, it's almost like that first round bye has lost its luster just because we've had it the last 2 years and we didn't have much to show for it, you know, in those NFC championship games. But once again, it's like, obviously that's a stupid thought, but especially with the way this team is playing mm-hmm. right now, being a more defensive team, being a more, you know, kicky in the mouth type team, it's like, I know we said it last year, but especially this year with how that's going, I can't imagine many teams coming into Lambeau, especially like Kyler Murray. I can't see him running around across my fingers here, knocking yes. wood. But we saw the Rams. Yeah. The Rams are like what the Packers have been the last couple of years right now, it seems like, where they have a couple star players on defense, but as a whole, they're really not that great, and they're a little, you know, hit and miss on offense as well, where I just... Getting that first round bye I would feel like we're going to go all the way. I've thought of this too. I think this is a group decision here, so I'll let it up to you guys. I would be fine if we do not say the word Super Bowl here on out until we have something locked up like the NFC Championship game. What do you guys think about that?
Ooh, I'm in.
Okay. Nope.
I don't know if I've said Super Bowl until I just said it now.
Okay.
I'm pretty superstitious. Good. You know, like you've had a lot of bad luck. You just get superstitious. Yeah, I'm superstitious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so yeah, I've been trying not to speak that.
So Spence, I'm on board, but what are the repercussions if I let it slip? Which you know, I could see happening.
I would say that we'll bleep it, but I also don't want to give myself more work while editing. So I will say we will bleep it or we'll get like yelled at or something.
How about anytime that we say it, we have to eat a spoonful of mayo.
Well, then you'll just say it.
Ooh.
That's tough. I mean, if it's not Hellman's though, like Hellman's would be different. Like I would be pretty excited for Hellman's, but if it's like if it's something different, I might not enjoy it as much. Would eat a raw egg.
Okay.
If I say it instead.
I like how you're because, just like, going mayo, the gross route.
Well, mayo is mostly eggs.
Yep.
Mostly eggs and vinegar. Right.
Yeah. No, you're
gross. I didn't want to know that.
Mm-hmm. I like that's why like I mayo, technically
but I don't like. Looking yeah. at mayo. You know
when I did
and now that I know the ingredients too. Ugh.
Yeah, fun fact, when I did food safety training for a previous retail store, which I cannot name since I'm not working at Menards and my loyalty is to them.
Very good.
But mm-hmm. they had a food safety and found out that, yeah, like you don't even have to put mayo in the fridge technically.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, once you've opened it. Yeah. And one time Uncle got so mad at me because he bought a new mayo from Sam's Club and I just took like one little scoop of it for the road, you know, and I forgot to put it. No, just like, yeah, a little spoon and little dab for as I was walking outside, you know, to keep the cheek warm. And
OK, Hank, and what are your playoff thoughts, Hank?
Well, hold on. I'll just say Uncle got really mad at me because then he thought I ruined the whole tub of mayo. But years down the line, I told him he was just stupid.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so you got Uncle there when it comes to mayo. That's I'm sure he's still aware of that too. A good dig. But how do you feel, Hank, with actual football here?
I feel pretty good, you know? Like I'm trying not to get too high. I'm trying not to get too high about anything right now, you know? I don't know. Like, I think the Vikings loss and being in U.S. Bank and being pestered and just around such, I don't know, like subhumans.
Yeah.
That I just I'm kind of just like, oh, I'm just going to play it safe.
That's fair.
And I'm trying not to feel anything too much one way. If stuff goes very well, I will let myself feel more.
Okay. Well, that's very fair.
I like that. I like that breakdown. Even keeled.
Yes, as we try.
That's me.
We're homers, but we also try to find that line at times.
Yeah.
But with that, everyone's favorite part of the episode, if you could please leave a 5-star review. I know the audio quality the last 2 weeks hasn't been, you know, what we usually go for, but hey, leave a nice review anyways. You like the show on Apple. DM us on Twitter at PMP Podcast or PMP Pod. Email us PMP Podcast at gmail.com. Oh man, this is my flu game today, boys. Leave a review. Yeah. We'll send you a koozie. Other than that, Hank, I believe you have some type of according to Hank this week.
Yeah, I do. So we're going to be doing what I call the 25 days of Hankmas. And so I have selected 25 semi picture postcards that I'm going to be sending the listeners, and they will have a personalized message from me, Hank, and they will be short printed 1 to 25. Wow. So there might be wow, a couple that have signatures from all three of us, and those ones will be the big ones, you know. When we get Kyle and Svenny on one of those pieces of cardboard, that's when it's going to get really special. And so, yeah, I was thinking that to kind of like choose who we send those out to, right? It would be, I think we can have a kind of a couple options, but I wanted to see what you both think. I was thinking one, if you leave a new review, you'd be entered for a chance,
like it,
for one of those. Yep. Short printed. If you tweet us, you'd be, yep, entered in a chance.
Okay.
For that as, yes, well. And what do you think we should tweet? I was thinking like your favorite Packers moment from this year.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was going to say we could even just tweet out a picture of the postcards in one of your notes, like you writing the note and us signing it, putting it out there and asking if anyone would want one just to reply or retweet or something. But yeah, we could come up with that. Either way, I think if you want one, just reach out, leave a review, DM us, ask for one. I mean, we know Verbal Gunslinger is going to get one for sure.
Oh, Verbal Gunslinger has got He's getting one for sure. So he's already entered.
Yes.
So I guess technically there's only 24, 24 left. But I would consider them, you know, like at least the ones that you guys sign as collector's items.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, we will make sure that they are protected and they're sleeved and they come in a nice, you know, a nice case for you. Perfect. As well.
Okay, so
I like it. Fans, good idea, Hank.
Let's do that then. We'll play it by ear this first week, and we'll have a better plan going forward next week when we record for how we want to give out the rest of them. And one other thing that I did forget, shout out to Aaron in Arizona, who was also at the game. I didn't check the email over the weekend. He wanted to meet up with Kyle to have a beer with him, and it did not happen, so that's my fault, Aaron.
Oh, I'm yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Aaron from Arizona. Wish I could have had a beer with you. I had a weird tailgating experience though. So, you know, sorry, Aaron. We'll get you on the next one.
Yeah, maybe the playoffs. I kind of want to go to a playoff game this year since I was kind of planning on, yes, going to that Rams game. So we'll see. I know we did talk about a big announcement last week. If you listened through the entire episode, that had terrible audio quality, but I think we'll just wait for next week to have that announcement. But
I like it.
It will be cool. It'll be a little, you know, the episodes, you know, maybe we'll be a little more legit going forward.
A little tease for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said this too, but like, yeah. So you'd get a postcard and then you'd get like like more or less like a handmade like more or less trading card.
Okay.
And there's only going to be 25 Poor Man Packers podcast trading cards ever. Ooh, made.
I love it.
Very rare.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep. Probably hand cut. And so, I mean, cut with love.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah. I like this too. Hank is definitely the Za'Darius Smith of the podcast, because we have, you know, according to Hank, we have what it was, Hanksgiving. It's the 25 days of whatever this is. So I, either way, I love it. But,
I like holiday. I like the holiday season. And it's better. Holidays are better when you have friends.
God, that is.
And this is one of the first years for that. So amen. It's just been, you know, I'm really going to lean into it this year. Lean into the holidays.
Perfect. Well, with that, I don't have
any. Hank. Love it.
I don't have anything else. Kyle, do you have anything else?
No, I got nothing. Like I said, hopefully the first and last Zoom episode. I didn't realize how many nonverbal cues all of us had. Right. Like Hank perking. Even Hank like perking up and then still having that 2 second delay right. in person. Like I still miss that. And just kind of the overlapping, I know, is probably extremely annoying as a listener, because it's very annoying as a speaker. So hopefully, first and last.
Perfect. And
but yeah, that's all I got.
All right, Hank, do you have anything else?
Just happy to be here. I would say that I'm just very, very happy to be able to join like two professionals that like make the pod, you know, integral part of their life, even when they're feeling down.
Absolutely. Well, with that,
thank you.
Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Pack, go.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month, and then they took my money away. Yeah, well now I don't care, cause they ain't working like me down here. Hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here. I got a six pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. You can take the job or shove it, cause I ain't working here no more. Cigarettes.